Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
See, I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The sky.
Here at the commission of the USS McCool, just ahead of time with County Commissioner Mike Kohler. Kind of a big day, Mike.
It's a huge day. It's a huge day for Pensacola. This is the 13th commissioning of a ship in Pensacola. I don't know if most people know that. We haven't had a great oil here for years, but it's a big day to have it. It's huge for the community and a wonderful kickoff, and the community's just been awesome.
And the weather so far is cooperating. It's overcast, and that's all. We'll take it.
If it ain't raining, we ain't training. That's what they say.
Mike, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for the time. I did want to follow up on one thing that came from the commission meeting. You were talking about the nursing shortage in the state of Florida. This is a problem that anybody who's paying attention knows about, but not everybody knows. And, you know, what are we doing to fix that problem? Because it's like 59,000 nurses we're going to be short in 10 years.
The Nursing Association says that, you know, in the United States, it's going to be close to 1 million. And so you look at that. But the governor's had two different projects to try to increase the pipeline of nurses to the tune of over $300 million since 2022. So that's going to have a huge impact, and hopefully that'll eat into that 59,000 deficit we're projected to have.
Yeah, it's a big deal, but we're working on it. And, you know, I'm always amazed when things like that aren't problems most of the time, and then all of a sudden they are, and you think, wow, you know, the economy works pretty good most of the time. And when it doesn't, man, it can be a big deal.
Well, it's a huge deal. And, you know, we have so many baby boomers, and you don't realize the demands on the nurses now. They're asking to work extra shifts. I get stuff every day, still being a licensed nurse in Florida, to work all over the country. And so I understand the seriousness of it. So I really applaud the governor and his lead on that with the legislature to try to make an impact and make more nurses in our state.
How does it feel to look at this ship today?
Well, since I'm a Navy guy, 33 years, I love the Navy. Now, I was never on a ship because I was a corpsman first, but you know what? I love the Navy. I love gray holes, and all I can say is go Navy, beat Army.
Thanks, Mike.
Boy, I'll tell you that now that was, you know, obviously, as you heard, that was before the actual commissioning of the ship on Saturday, and it was terrible weather. I mean, it was moderate bad weather. It was misty and wet, and everybody was getting their butt soaked as they sat in the pool of water on the chairs. I don't think it was quite 2,000 people that were out there on Saturday, but it was a lot. It was an awful lot of people, and I tell you, you know, all I could think the whole time is, I'm like, and this is amazing. And so if it's a little bit wet, it's just a little bit wet. So I'm going to kind of take you through the ceremony a little bit today and talk about this ship and, you know, just, I don't know, just some of the things that we learned. For example, you know, one of the things that they did is, and I think this might be the Medal of Honor citation. I didn't go back to check because obviously it took place a long time ago under President Eisenhower, I think. But the commanding officer, the executive officer for the ship, Commander Brian Carlo, did recite the heroism that got him the Medal of Honor Award for Richard M. McCool, Jr.
We are here today to commission the first ship to bear the name of Medal of Honor recipient, Captain Richard Miles McCool, Jr., United States Navy. To quote Captain McCool's Medal of Honor citation, as commanding officer of a landing craft support ship, during operations against enemy Japanese forces in the Ryukyu chain 10 and 11 June 1945, sharply vigilant during hostile air raids against Allied ships on radar picket duty off Okinawa on 10 June, Lieutenant McCool aided materially in evacuating all survivors from a sinking destroyer, which had sustained mortal damage under the devastating attacks. When his own craft was attacked simultaneously by two of the enemy's suicide squadron early in the evening of 11 June, He instantly hurled the full power of his gun batteries against the plunging aircraft, shooting down the first and damaging the second before it crashed into his station in the conning tower and engulfed the immediate area in massive flames.
So he was right in the, I mean, the tower that was the recipient of the kamikaze attack, right? Survived.
Although suffering from shrapnel wounds and painful burns, he rallied his concussion shock crew and initiated vigorous firefighting measures, and then proceeded to the rescue of several trapped in a blazing compartment, subsequently carrying one man to safety despite the excruciating pain of additional severe burns. Unmindful of all personal danger, he continued his efforts without respite until aid arrived from other ships and he was evacuated. By his staunch leadership, capable direction, and indomitable determination throughout the crisis, Lieutenant McCool saved the lives of many who otherwise might have perished and contributed materially to the saving of his ship for further combat service.
And, of course, winds up being awarded the Medal of Honor for his bravery in that event, went on to, you know, become a captain eventually, retired and, you know, served in his private life, in his community, and just, you know, all kinds of other things. So, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's interesting to hear these stories and then to think through how much this means. Like, the namesake, you know, really does mean a lot to the crew, to the identity of the ship. Even as far as, you know, Captain Maker, who's the commanding officer of the ship, you know, talking about the granddaughter, one of whom was there, Shanna McCool, who was, you know, one of the namesakes, and talking about how important it is to them to be able to, you know, serve them and honor them and, you know, just do things to make their them being the, you know, the commissioning commissioning agents for the ship to basically get honor out of all of this.
Third of a U.S. Navy warship is the embodiment of her sponsors. Richard M. McCool Jr. is blessed to have two sponsors, Ms. Shauna McCool and Ms. Kate Oha. Shauna, I would be honored if you would give the order to man our ship and bring her to life.
And I love it when a granddaughter gets it.
Secretary Del Toro, Admiral Franchetti, ladies and gentlemen, please indulge me. Because when I think of my grandfather and his courage under fire, the only way I can describe him is to simply say, Grandpa was a badass. Crew, can I get a hell yeah? Hell yeah!
So at this point in the ceremony, you know, had all the dignitaries up in front. They had all given all their speeches, except for the captain. He gives a speech after the commissioning. And all of the sailors and the Marines that were going to be a part of this were all behind us and toward the front of the ship. And so she actually is the one who gets to call for the ship to come to life.
Officers and crew of USS Richard M. McCool Jr., man our ship and bring her to life.
And at this point, what happens is, you know, there's about 300 sailors and about 75 Marines, and they're all running onto the ship, which I did not know was going to happen. It was about 5 minutes of this process, not running full out, but running, you know, fairly full out, and they're all running with their hand over their heart. And since I'm sitting next to Captain Scott Janik, the commanding officer of the School of Aviation Safety and a good friend, I'm like, why are they running with their hand over their heart? Because at first I thought, oh, it's just because you're passing the flag or something like that. He's like, so the medals don't flap. Oh, okay. That's why some of them don't run with their hand over their heart, because there's nothing there to, you know, to do. So they run, you know, and like I said, they run, and you can see them gradually appear on the top deck. You know, it's Steel Beach and the bow and the flight deck and basically all over. And then they, you know, they had already gone through the process of raising the flag up on the ship, you know, and they had done that. But this process of having them run on, and the one thing that stood out to me is you see them run on, and then as they appear on the top of the deck. Now, if you hadn't been inside the ship, you'd think, well, no big deal. They just went right up. Well, having been inside the ship, John, how long does it take, do you think, if you go in the side port to get up topside at the, like, up in the, right behind the bridge or somewhere on the flight? And the flight deck would be easy, but getting all the way, like, to the very front of the ship, how long would that take you?
It took us maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, they're booking, man.
Yeah, they are.
And so that's a long, like, up these stairs, up this ramp, around this way, up that ladder, up that ladder, up that ladder, up that ladder. I mean, like, that's a long process to get. And it doesn't look like anything on the outside. It's just like, well, they went in and now they're up there. And I'm thinking, I know how long that takes. That's a long ways up. So they finally finished, and then kind of a surprising, again for me, because I had never experienced this before. So they're all there, 300 plus, 400 plus, as the ship is going through testing all of its alerts and alarms. The radars are spinning. They had not been before. Flag is flying. And then the big one. Because everything has to be sure that it works before you can really say that it's done and you're in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the crew of USS Richard M. McCool Jr. salutes you. We are proud to serve in America's Navy. Richard M. McCool Jr., ready? Two.
It was really amazing. It was quite a ceremony. And I will tell you the one thing about all of this that I did not expect. John, I don't know if you'll relate to this or not. I'm sad. It's leaving.
That it's leaving.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you experiencing this too?
I am. I enjoyed my tour.
Yes.
I was like, and got to know the people.
Yes.
And I'm like, y'all are leaving?
And I'm probably never going to most likely see it again. You know, I'm like, and I didn't even have a full day. I had about a day on the ship. And a tour, and then watching the commissioning, and I'm like, okay, so I have this teeny tiny little level of attachment. Now I sort of understand why people who serve say they miss their ship or they're so fond of their ship, or, you know, why they would wear hats and shirts and things that represent it, because, I mean, it's like you're a part of it and it's a part of you. And I have a teeny tiny slice of this affection or attachment for a thing.
But
so
you get it.
I yes.
You get it.
I get in a way that, you know, and it was this morning that I was thinking about, you know, because I don't know if it's left yet. I don't know if it's leaving today. I don't know if it's leaving in a week. I've asked, and I'll tell you if I'm allowed to tell you. I may not be allowed to tell you. I mean, I don't know, because they kind of keep that stuff, you know, secret. Just because for operational security. So I don't actually know. You know, I haven't been down to the Navy base today, you know, or yesterday in order to know. But that's what I thought. I was like, I want to see it again, you know, one more time before, you know. So I just, like I said, I've never felt sadness about leaving the cruise ship. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you get off, you go on a cruise from the Caribbean, you get off the boat, you know, I don't know, whatever. But I actually do feel that way about this ship, which is super unexpected. That is absolutely not what I expected to experience. So we'll you know, take you through more of this throughout the day. Had a bunch of really good interviews, you know, after talking to people. Well, actually, this is actually a sort of a small personal favorite of mine. But you know what? I'll share this one because Admiral Don Quinn does deserve so much credit for putting this all together. A 2-star retired from the Naval Education Training Command. He was, you know, he does so much in the community, but he was the one that really, you know, stewarded this process and really made it happen. I mean, a lot of other people did a lot of work, but, you know, he was first in line in that category.
We're here with retired Rear Admiral Don Quinn, former commanding officer at the Naval Education Training Command and the chair of the commissioning board that brought this event together. Admiral, first of all, on behalf of myself for the Tiger Cruise, you including us so much, and for what you did to bring this ship here, thank you on behalf of the community.
Yeah, it was spectacular. It was a great week, and the ultimate measure is did the crew enjoy it? And I can tell you by the tired faces, they enjoyed it. So Pensacola did a sprout, and it wasn't just Pensacola, the whole area. We had people coming from Louisiana, Georgia. I mean, it was a great event for the Gulf Coast.
As I was sitting here thinking about how Captain Baker had been raving and proud of his decision to come to Pensacola, and I looked at this very un-Pensacola-like day, and I thought, oh, man, but I hope they're enjoying themselves at all the area attractions and events and the baseball game. He threw out the first pitch and going to Seville and everything else. I know they're proud to have come here.
Well, you know, he bounced the first pitch, for the record. Okay.
Did he really? Nice.
But, no. It was...
No secrets when the Admiral's around.
But if you think of how Monday was, I'll take this over what it was Monday, 95 yeah. and hot. So this was actually perfect. I mean, I'm going to go give the chaplain a coin when I'm done here. Nice. He did good work.
Anything from here that you have to do, or are you feeling relief that your responsibilities are done now that we've got the ship commissioned?
Well, anybody that's done any kind of event like this knows that there are thank yous to be done and bills to be paid, and I'm not doing any of that until Monday. So the commissioning committee, 25 people, just did great work.
Well, again, Admiral, thank you so much for the time. And again, thank you for including me personally in our radio stations and letting us get a little taste of what shipboard life is like. It was life-changing for me.
Well, you guys and Keg Country and WEAR set the standard and raised the bar for all communities to follow. Thank you for getting the word out about what was going on here by the crowd that says you were successful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are in the market for that next vehicle, trying to decide if now is the time or not, or, you know, just kind of want to browse around and get a sense of what's out there. One of the things that makes Frontier different is that if when you go there, okay, they're going to give you a price sheet. If you decide to look in the detail about a car that you sort of like, they'll give you a price sheet that has a number at the very bottom of the page. That's the only number you ever talk about. You know, and if you come to an agreement about that number, then that number doesn't change. There's no after that. Okay, that's got everything built into it, their bottom line price. And it's attached to a thing called a Carfax. And a Carfax is a vehicle automotive history for that car for maintenance and service to the degree that that car has, that the people who do the maintenance have reported it. So if they don't report it, it might not show up there. And so that's why I always say that a Carfax is a really good start. It's not necessarily everything you need to know about a car. Also, I recommend, you know, for a good used car, you might want to take it to a mechanic and get a used vehicle inspection. I've done that myself. It's well worth the money to a mechanic you trust. Now, when you go to Frontier, you don't have to because, you know, they're a dealer, but I'm saying you buy it off of somebody on Facebook Marketplace or whatever. But that's why I bring this up is if you do buy it from somebody else, if you do buy a car from somebody else and they don't give you a Carfax, Frontier will give you one for free. You know, why would they help you buy a car from somebody else? Because they can, because it's useful, because it's a way of serving the community, just because that's how they want to help. You know, you make a better decision. And so when I say Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Don't you think
think if Obi-Wan Kenobi had a soundtrack, it would be Michael Jackson. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the big story over the weekend, Andrew, a manhunt underway in Kentucky for an armed and dangerous suspect. This is in connection with a shooting near a busy interstate, I believe I-75 in Kentucky. Officials looking for 32-year-old Joseph Couch. They believe he is in some remote woods right off the interstate there, where near where all of this happened. Some of the news coming out after this, officials saying that he had possibly purchased an AR-15 rifle and thousands of rounds of ammunition just before this shooting.
Yeah, plinking at cars from the forest or something, and found his car, they found the gun, they didn't find him, five people seriously injured, nobody killed, thank God.
Right, and there was some confusion at first. People were saying maybe it was a road rage thing, then they're saying, no, now it's a random thing, so just... And this has been Saturday night, I believe this happened. So I mean, they've been looking for him for quite a while now.
It's like the guy who shot the people sleeping on the train. You know, you just what it makes you think about is how many places in your society you just take for granted that there are no evil people laying around ready to do something horrible, and you have to. I mean, there's so much trust in our society to just. All kinds of things, and so it's very disruptive to think about that. Again, thank God that nobody was killed. So, all right, David, thank you so much for the update. Fox News is next.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. She's been prepping and making brief public appearances in Pittsburgh. Today, Vice President Kamala Harris heads to Philadelphia for tomorrow night's debate there with former President Donald Trump.
This will be their first ever face-to-face encounter, as new polls show the race is a dead heat. The vice president has been hunkered down in Pittsburgh for several days to study up, while Trump has remained on the campaign trail.
Fox's Brian Yenis, Arkansas governor and former Trump White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders on how he gets ready.
He takes questions from the press on a regular basis. So I think every day is a debate prep for Donald Trump. He'll go in game time ready, just as he does for every interview, every rally that he does.
She was on ABC's This Week. The debate hosted by ABC is simulcast on Fox News. Schools canceled in part of central Kentucky. They're looking for a man who shot at cars. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have cloudy skies. It is 72 degrees this morning in Pensacola. Well, a disturbance in the Gulf of Mexico now showing a high chance of development over the next week. Invest 92L is forecast to drift slowly northward over the next several days and then form into a tropical storm. Direct impacts from this storm are expected somewhere along the Louisiana coast. That storm could be a hurricane by midweek before it makes landfall as well. Forecasters do not believe the storm, as of right now anyway, will pose a direct threat to us here in northwest Florida, although we could see increased rip current risks and more rainfall, and the majority of those impacts would be expected early next week. And we'll get more on that with our Channel 3 forecast here in just a couple of minutes. An Escambia County grand jury has indicted a man on a murder charge for that ambush-style triple homicide that happened on West Jackson Street last April. 23-year-old Torrance Sumler has been indicted on 3 counts of first-degree premeditated murder with a firearm. The shooting happened April 28th at West Jackson Square, where 3 victims were shot in a parked car. All 3 men died, 2 at the scene, a 3rd at the hospital. Sumler remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. A teenager from Jay is hurt after a crash last Friday. The Florida Highway Patrol says the teen lost control of his truck on Fanny Road and then hit a tree. He was taken by ambulance to the hospital. FHP said he was in critical condition. The crash is still under investigation. A neighborhood dispute in Baldwin County reportedly leading to a fatal shooting over the weekend. Deputies say 59-year-old Michael David Norton shot a man during an argument. This happened off County Road 20. The victim died as a result of a single gunshot wound. Deputies say the investigation is ongoing. Norton remains in custody in Baldwin County on a murder charge. And of course, the U.S. Navy's newest, most advanced warship, the USS Richard M. McCool, was officially commissioned at NAS Pensacola over the weekend. Captain Jeff Baker will be commanding that ship, which will head to its home port in Norfolk, Virginia. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms today. 30% chance of rain overall, high near 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Tuesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 81. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Rain chances increase on Wednesday with a 90% chance of rain and a high near 79. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And at 5:34, we do have cloudy skies. It is 72 degrees now in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. And our next news at 6. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at @PColaParks. It's time to get out and play.
There's a lot going on at WSRE-TV. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 as Marketing Director Mary Riker and Development Director Jennifer Nisbell will be the guests to discuss the upcoming PBS Kids Day at the Gulfarium, Studio Amp Concert Series, Joyful Noise, a Fufu Fest event, the Festival of Trees, and a new show about Pensacola's historic landmarks. Today on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Last week, we had a chance to talk to our good friend and cotton and peanut farmer and corn, a little bit of corn, Ryan Jenkins up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's Labor Day, so neither of us is working today, right?
That's right. I hardly work any day, but especially not on Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you farmers, easy life. What, 2-3 hours a day, long sleep, easy vacations all the time, right?
That's it, pretty much.
All right. So we haven't talked. We didn't get a chance to talk last month because you had some stuff going on, which I understand, and glad to know things are better. You're getting ready to do some harvesting, but before we talk about that, every year you do experimentals or varietal trials for corn, right?
Yes, we do that for almost every crop we grow. And it's really a good thing because, you know, we partner with other companies, and so you have all kinds of experts coming to your farm throughout the year. You get to see some experimental varieties before other people get to see them. And then, of course, you get to trial the varieties that are already commercially available. And, you know, there are tons of trials just like the ones that we do all across the country. But, you know, it doesn't take a very long geographical difference to make a big difference in your crops. So, you know, like the University of Florida has an experiment station, say, in Mariana. Well, that data is good, but it's not as good as data coming right here from your exact farm, your exact location, your exact weather patterns, all that. So the information that you gain from these variety trials are huge. It's a huge help. You know, picking the right variety is one of the most important decisions a farmer will make all year long, because once that seed's in the ground, there's no undoing it for that whole season, you know, for that whole year. So, we did harvest those the other day, and I think you'd be surprised at the difference between we had 18 varieties in that trial. So those are planted side by side in the same field, treated the same way, planted the same time, harvested the same time. And for that trial, there was a 72 bushel per acre difference. So that's huge. And the only difference was different varieties. So, you know, the commodity prices are extremely low right now. It's one of the worst times in agriculture. But even with the low variety prices, that equates to about $288 per acre difference in what you would get at the end of the year.
So you and I have been doing this series now for, I think, like 3 years, okay? And this is the first time that it has ever occurred to me, something that is so obvious once you say it, that different varieties of a crop are appropriate to plant in different geographic locations based on, I'm assuming, soil quality and expected weather, rainfall, heat, all of that. And so the corn you plant to get the best result, say, in, you know, Santa Rosa County, Florida, is different from the corn that you might plant to get the best result in, say, Des Moines, Iowa. And learning, you know, it's not just about finding the best one. It's about finding the best one for the location, because the best one for here might not be the best one for there. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong about any of this.
No, that's very correct.
And, I mean, we've been talking 3 years and I didn't know that. But it's so obvious once you say
it. Well, I mean,
it's so true. It makes sense.
You know, like cotton varieties, for instance. Just on our farm alone, which I have a huge cotton variety trial, but on the main acres that we're talking about, not the trials, you know, I plant about, I probably have five different varieties that I plant just based on soil type and the different fields. I don't just plant one variety, and I do it where it comes off at different times of the year. I mean, there's a whole list of reasons why we do what we do, but variety is huge. It's not probably as simple as people think. All right, if Ryan's going to go plant corn, he just goes to the co-op and buys a bag of seed and go plants it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of science behind why I choose which variety I choose.
No,
and there are tons of them out there.
And that's exactly the point. Like, again, I hadn't been thinking about the different varieties, and I don't think you've ever told me that you plant a variety of each individual crop based on the land on, you know, that you're, or the time of year you're going to harvest it. And planning all that takes, you know, a very scientific approach. It had never occurred to me before. So that's, you know, thank you. Like, that's a fascinating insight. Does it also, because obviously a lot of this is gambling. Right, you're trying to figure out what's going to produce the end result, and you don't know what the weather and the rainfall is going to be like between here and there. But do you look at something at the beginning of the season and say, we think this year is going to be wetter or hotter, and therefore we use different varieties based on that anticipation?
I don't look at that as much.
Okay.
Some people do, but I don't put much confidence in those types of forecasts where we live. I mean, the chances are, in a typical year, we're going to get enough rain from the Gulf that's not, you know, I mean, it's kind of the same thing every year. Yeah, you're going to have an anomaly sometimes, like last year, but for the most part, I go more on soil type, history of the field, what my intended harvest dates are, those types of things.
One thing I wanted to check with you about is we've had a really dry last month. You know, I mean, my wife was telling me just yesterday, I hadn't been paying attention to it, but she said it's been a month since we got a good rain in Pensacola where we live. How is that affecting your crops? Because I know for the cotton, you know, they love the heat. I assume for the peanuts, the other big cash crop, that you need more water.
Yeah, it's honestly, our crops in most places right now are looking, the potential's there for a good yield.
Great.
But like you say, in the last month, you know, the rainfall has fallen off. It's been very spotty. There are some of my buddies, you know, in different areas around here that are kind of in a disaster situation. They've missed some of the rains longer than a month, or haven't gotten just a little quarter of an inch here or something kind of to keep it going. But we're to the point now where everybody needs a rain. Even one reason we need a rain is to finish off the crops. But another reason we're going to need a rain is it's almost harvest time for peanuts. I'm sure some people will begin to dig this week. Hours, you know, just kind of looking and estimating, look like they're probably maybe 3 weeks off or so from beginning to dig. But for us to be able to get our equipment, to be able to get the plows in the ground to turn the peanuts up, we're going to need some rain to soften the soil. But really, I mean, we need a good rain, you know, right this second to finish off this good crop. And, you know, hopefully that will be beneficial for the peanut harvest. And hopefully it won't set into rain. Hopefully we won't have a hurricane. And hopefully somehow, by the grace of God, we can pull off harvesting a good crop this year. We desperately need it. Like I talked about before, the commodity prices are terrible. If you remember in the spring, when you know, one time on the radio show, I said, I think I won't even plant any cotton this
year. Yeah. And you broke down and did some anyway because you couldn't bring yourself to not plant cotton a year.
Right. So here we are again. We've ended up with about as much cotton as we ever have, it seems like. And when I had that conversation with you guys early in the spring, you know, that was probably February, March time frame, maybe April, you know, when we were talking about that, the price of cotton was in the 80 cent range. And I told you it needs to be between 90 and a dollar with the input prices that we have now to be able to pay for itself. Well, since then, it's fallen down into the 60 cent range.
Oh, God, the wrong direction.
The wrong direction. So,
so you really need peanuts to come in this year.
Yeah, and lottery tickets and all kinds of stuff.
Same story every year. Well, you know, last thing I was going to ask you before we get to your farm fact, because we always end with one, is how do you know? Like, how can you tell that it's really time to get the peanuts in? You said it's about 3 weeks off, rain and soil softening all dependent, but how can you tell?
It's very interesting. What we do is basically it's called pod blasting. So we'll go out there and get some representative plants from the field. We'll pull them up. We'll pick all the peanuts off. We do it a little bit different. Some places have purposefully built machines to do this. We put them in a basket, take a pressure washer, and believe it or not, you can pressure wash, or some people will use, old timers will use a pocket knife and do it, but you can scrape the exterior portion of the peanut hull off, and underneath that are different colors. They start off white, and those are the white are most immature. Black are completely mature, and there's reds and oranges and browns and all these different colors in between. And we have a chart that we put them on, and we know, you know, if the majority of them are this color, it takes about 20 days for them to move into the next category, and so on and so forth. But the goal is to get the most of the darkest ones. But the trick is, you know, they're kind of always moving as the days are ticking along. You know, the peanuts are getting more and more and more and more mature. But once they hit that black stage, they only stay there for a little while before they fall off of the plant.
So I'm assuming that in a batch or in a, you know, you pull up some peanuts out of the ground, you know, these are going to be brown, these are going to be black, these are, you know, like they're not all just one thing, but your goal is to get as many within the right range as possible without losing as many as you can at the end of the process. Is that right?
Correct. They're going to be all that. They're going to range from white, very immature, nothing to them peanuts, to very, very mature. And you want to get as many as you can over here in this mature side before they turn loose from the plant, and then they just stay in the ground, and you'll never be able to harvest them.
And when you say the part that's colored, I'm assuming that you mean it's not the shell, and it's not the peanut, but it's that little thin wrapper around the peanut is the color you're looking at. Is that right?
Yeah, you take off the exterior layer of the shell if you have some at your house, you know, and I'm talking about the hull.
Yeah.
Scrape it. We'll get your knife and just scrape kind of in between where the two bumps are, where the two peanuts would be inside the
okay,
hull.
Okay.
Scrape that area, and you'll see that it's different. It's a dark color probably if you're eating them.
Okay, well, I'm glad I asked then. Okay, so that's the part you're looking at. Okay.
Yeah.
And you just power wash that, or as you say, scrape it with your knife or whatever, and you look at what's left underneath. This is why I love having you on. We learn something every single time.
Most people never know that.
Again, 3 years in, I think I've learned at least three different things today, so I will take it. And we're always just concerned about, you know, your viability and the viability of the fellow farmers, because without you guys, we don't have shirts and jeans, and we don't have peanut butter, and, you know, we don't have, you know, Snickers bars and all the stuff that your stuff goes into. You always like to end with a farm fact. Ryan, do you have one for us this week?
I do. Before the farm fact, I just want to remind everyone, you know, we have a lot of new people living in our area now, and we have a lot of visitors that come up in the fall and go to corn mazes and stuff like that. A lot of the agritourism type stuff in the north end of the county. Just really watch out for farm equipment. It's about to be our busiest time. You know, it's about to start, and it'll go from now through close to Christmas. So really take your time and watch out for equipment, and give us plenty of room, and let's all be safe. But that leads us into the farming fun fact. Each year, there are about 50 deaths in America from auto collisions versus farm equipment type collisions. So just take your time. We all want to get where we're going safely. We don't want to be out on the road any more than you want us there. And we've just got a job to do, and we want to get back home to our family. So watch out for us, work with us, and in the meantime, eat more peanuts.
And just, you know, when you pull up behind that big green tractor or whatever, and, you know, you're bothered because they're going 18 miles an hour, that's making your food and your jeans and your shirts. And, you know, that's just the, you know.
Yeah, and I prefer people to wave at me using all their fingers and their thumbs.
All five, not just the one.
All of them at the same time.
Simultaneously, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Jenkins, he's
the preferred method.
Ryan Jenkins, he's the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, our good friend and our excellent farmer and source of information. Ryan, thanks for what you do. Thanks for feeding my kids and putting clothes on their back. I really appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again in a month.
Thank you for having us. Y'all be safe and have a great week.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Everything from show me all of the fingers at the same time to wishing to win the lottery. I love Ryan. He's such a sweetie. Hey, if you need hardware supplies, you're trying to work on a project, you build things for a living, or you're just repairing somebody fell into a wall. It does happen. Whichever level of need you've got, Pensacola Hardware has got you covered. Now, you know, I always talk about like the ordinary home improvement kind of thing, because that's like my own experience perspective. But if you build things for a living, you know, like if you build houses and subdivisions and office buildings, whatever, Pensacola Hardware is your people. One of the things that makes them different, they've been doing this for forever. I mean, their bread and butter is contractors, okay? Since 1851, they've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. And, you know, one of the things that, for example, they'll do is instead of having to go to them, they'll come to you. So they'll bring stuff to the job site. It's kind of nice. That's time, right? Time is money. You don't have to, you know, send, you know, Jeff with a credit card down to the store. They will bring it to you, and they'll put you on a monthly account, so no problem. You know, simple billing. If you need to understand how to solve a problem, they can help you with that. They can help you, you know, if there's a specialized problem or there's some special, you know, rule that you got to follow and you're not familiar with it, they can teach you how to do it. They probably know, I mean, they definitely know the ordinances, they know the codes. They may know the inspector, you know, so they can make sure that everything goes smoothly, because you want to make sure and get it right and not have to waste time again if there's some kind of problem. But whatever the case is, Pensacola Hardware's your people. They can help you with this. And they have a great gift section in the front, like a housewares, where you can buy grills and Yeti merchandise and SEC merchandise now that there's 114 teams in the SEC. what, 18? Is that what we counted it, John? 18? My goodness. Anyway, the Big Ten is now 18, so maybe it's 16 in the SEC. I don't know. It's some crazy number. Anyway, But they've got all that stuff for you in the front of the house, so it's a good place to go buy gifts for other people. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join Jim's Firearms for a 10th anniversary celebration on September 20th and 21st. They're partnering with local favorites like Badass Coffee, Key Nutrition, and more for an unforgettable event. Indulge in delicious food from La Casita Food Truck and 850 Barbecue. But that's not all. They're having numerous firearm raffles with all proceeds benefiting Save Underdogs Rescue. Stop by Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, September 20th and 21st, to celebrate a decade of community support. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sorrento Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you know the Klingon proverb that tells us revenge is a dish that is best served cold?
It is very cold in space.
I'm gonna tell you a story. Go ahead, Ricardo Montalban. Just read a phone book to me. I'm in. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the latest on that school shooting in Georgia last week, we are seeing reports that the mother of suspect Colt Gray had reportedly contacted the school, and this was just before that shooting, and warned the school of an extreme emergency involving her son. She'd reportedly called the school about a half an hour before the gunfire started last week. The 14-year-old suspect, of course, Colt Gray, charged with murder. His father, Colin Gray, also facing murder charges for supplying the rifle.
So did the school go on lockdown? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't have that information.
I mean, that...
But
because I know that there are threats made all the time to schools, and they have to make decisions about what to do.
And there's no word officially like what she actually said to whether she said there was an imminent shooting or there was just
an
something psychologically
some
wrong with her son.
Okay.
But there was somebody had reported to a newspaper, I believe maybe the Washington Post, and showed them call logs, screenshots of the call logs that she had called the school.
Okay.
Also seeing today, the White House now asking for some more information after an American citizen was killed in a protest in the West Bank. An Israeli military shooter had killed the woman, Aiznor Ezgi. She was a recent graduate of the University of Washington in Seattle, was shot during a demonstration in the West Bank last Friday, and her family calling on the White House for more of an investigation into that. Also this week, the president and CEO of the Waffle House has passed away, 58-year-old Walt Eamer. His passing was announced over the weekend. He'd been with Waffle House all the way back in 1992 is when he first joined and became president of the company in 2002.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, on that shooting in the West Bank, I just, I obviously don't know the circumstances about the protest, but certainly an Israeli soldier can't be expected to know the difference between an American and anybody else, and it wouldn't matter if you were in the middle of something that justified a shooting. And again, I don't know the circumstance, but if you're in the middle of something that justified a shooting and you're an American citizen, that's on you, not on them. So unless it was an unjustified shooting, in which case it's like if it was a justified shooting, then it doesn't matter that you're an American. And if it was a justified shooting, then it doesn't matter if you were an American. It's sort of like either way, you're an American in the West Bank. And in the middle of a protest, and I, you know, either way, it shouldn't, doesn't really matter whether you're an American to me. 558 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So I saw this, and it made me think less of Jimmy Fallon and NBC, but there was a little bit more to the story. The headline was, NBC has pulled back The Tonight Show to four nights a week instead of five nights a week. They're abandoning Friday night. They've apparently decided that it's not cost beneficial for them to actually air a new episode on Friday night. What I had not realized, mostly because I don't watch the late night shows a lot, is that CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, and also NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers, didn't even know that was still on the air, already only do four nights a week. So The Tonight Show was actually the last to the party. I knew The Daily Show was only 4 days a week, but only Monday is the one worth watching because that's with Jon Stewart. But I thought, you know, okay, so The Tonight Show is just being like everybody
else. Local talk in the morning.